We're here looking now, we're changing characters for a minute. So the title of the series is Face to Face, Abraham, we did Lot. Now I want to look at someone else. Let's look at it. Verse 12, because it's been a minute since November 22nd was the last time I did this. Let's go to verse 9. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, who she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. See how people get? The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his what? Son. But God, ain't that something, said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your... Now verse 14. So Abraham rose early in the morning, child support, and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away, and she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, yet I will survive. Amen. I want to talk about this morning, face to face, Ishmael. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins today. Clear our minds and hearts, God, and Lord, speak through me. Use me for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Yeah. I will survive. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. We find throughout this series, Face to Face, we've encountered different characters. Some characters were the main focus of some chapters, and some we find are just mentioned along the way. Now, to understand what I'm talking about, you need to be a little bit familiar with some of what the Old Testament is all about. Abraham is the father of faith. And throughout this series, we've learned, if you've been following this series, I really want to get this series on our podcast. And I think we're going to try to make that happen. You find out that Abraham was not a perfect man. And that's the beauty of the storyline about God and faith. And I say to you that you don't have to be perfect to have God's favor. God has already picked you. And if he has picked you through Jesus Christ in salvation, then there's something in you that God already knows about you. The beauty of the story is Abraham is not a perfect man. Sarah definitely wasn't a perfect woman. Lot, who had messed up his whole life, and in the end, we went through that whole thing about Lot. But Ishmael, you know, when we make decisions in life, we must make sure that we understand the effects of our decisions. You see, one night of pleasure may cause you a lifetime of pain. The decision that Abraham and Sarah made, they didn't understand that they were playing with a real life here. You see, it goes to show you how at times we don't value people. Hagar, who was her maid, was invited to lay with her husband to help. For some reason, they became, not for some reason, they became impatient waiting on God. So the problem that they created, now they want to rid themselves of the problem. Because for some reason, they have forgotten the promise. I told you the last time I preached this, I talked about a perceived threat. They thought that Hagar and her son Ishmael was a threat. But they created the problem. Imagine that we create our problems and then we want to get rid of our problems, but it's hard to get rid of some problems, right? I told you one night you can make a decision that can change your whole life. Now, as I look at this, it's amazing because Ishmael's life is just as important as Isaac. Here's a lesson for us. Never play favorites with your kids. Come on, help me, somebody. Some of them may not be what you want them to be, but yet never play favorites. Are you following me? Ishmael didn't ask for this life. But yet, from the moment he was born into hardship. But he was in a family of blessings. See, you can be in the right family and be treated the wrong way. Come on, help me, somebody. You can have a silver spoon in your mouth and still don't appreciate what God has done for you. Some of us may have had similar lives where it was hard, but yet you survived. It was a struggle, but yet you survived. It wasn't all that good, but here you are now. You're still here and you're surviving. Come on, help me, somebody. And as much I love the Bible, I love Israel, and even though I understand the deal, but I realize that God loves his people. And no matter how these people may treat other people, God still loves his people. And what does that say to us? It tells us that God is a God of grace, and God is a God that keeps his promises. And so we find here in our text that somehow that Sarah became very threatened by Hagar again. This wasn't the first time that she had drove Hagar away. This was about the second time. But yet, the text tells us something now that it had become a point where two boys could not live in the same house. Now I'm gonna just fast forward the story to show you something. See what's happening in Israel now? The Palestinians and the Israelis, that's the brothers. That's the brothers now. That's the descendants of Ishmael. Come on, help me, somebody. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when Joseph was taken down to Egypt, he was sold from the Ishmaelites. So you see the struggle, right? Sometimes the things, the decisions that we make can not just affect this generation, it can affect generations upon generations upon generations. Can I tell you this? The life you live now can affect everybody later on. I don't think y'all hear me today. And some of us, like I said, has had these similar lives, but yet no matter what you went through, you are still more than a conqueror. in Jesus Christ, you are still more than a conqueror. Aren't you glad? Now, here's the saga real quick. Watch the text. Text says, therefore, she said to Abraham, verse 10, drive out this maid and her son and her son. Look at the language. Not your son. What's going on in Sarah's heart? Sarah's not too much of a graceful woman, is she? It says, for the son of this maid shall, look what she's worried about. She's worried about the inheritance. She's worried about the descendants. But look at verse 11. It says, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Here's a passive man. First of all, you shouldn't have done it the first time. See, when she pressed you to have a child, you shouldn't have done it the first time. There's a lesson here. But watch verse, it says, but God. See, what I know about God is he knows when you are distressed about a situation. And sometimes you may not be looking for the answer, but God will show up with an answer. Aren't you glad? He said, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. But look at verse 13. Watch this. It says, and the son of the maid, I will do what? I will what? Make a nation also because he is what? So, my first thing I want to share with you is this. I will survive because I am. Never forget that you and I, in Jesus Christ, we are descendants now of Abraham. When you feel like you want to give up, when you feel like you've been isolated and ostracized and put out and all this other stuff and mistreated, always remember this, that you and I are descendants of Abraham. There are three things I want to share with you about that. It's not the same as being Jewish, but what it is a Gentile can be included in that plan through Jesus Christ. Number two, it means that being like Abraham, especially trusting the promises of God like Abraham did as a descendant. You and I have the opportunity to believe and trust in the promises. It means that you are inheriting the blessings promised to Abraham. So what God was telling Abraham, no matter what it is, Abraham, it's okay. Your son is going to survive because he is your descendant. I don't think we really are maximizing who we really are in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:7 says, therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. You and I are descendants of Abraham now because of Jesus Christ and because we are in faith. Now, the test of whether you are of faith is not whether you made a decision somewhere in the past, but whether your life is a life of faith in the present. I'm going to say it one more time. Some of us say that we have faith in God, but our actions do not show it. So are you really a descendant? The child of Abraham can say without any insecurities that I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and are called according to his purposes. In other words, we are children of Abraham if we live, watch this, by faith in the promises that God has summed up for us in Christ. Oh, that was too deep for you. I don't think you heard me. I said I will survive because I am a what? Let me ask you a question. What does that mean to you today? That all of the promises that God made to Abraham, it belongs to you. That seed that you, that the blessings of Abraham will fall upon your life. The blessings of God will come in your life because the text says in Galatians 3:7, those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. I will survive because I know who I am. I will survive because I know I am a descendant of Abraham. I know that in Jesus Christ, I have lessons of Abraham. I know that in Jesus Christ, and if I want to level up this year, and if I want this to be a year of increase, I have to tap into my lineage and say, God, I will survive because the promises that you made to me will come to pass. So look at the text. Text says now in that next verse, verse 14, it says, so Abraham did what? You know this one thing about Abraham? You notice this? He's obedient. May I ask you something? When God tells you to do something, do you do it right away or do you wait? Or do you hesitate? And sometimes the things that God may be asking you to do may cost you something. It may cost you a little bit more than what you want to give, but guess what? If you believe that you are descendant of Abraham, I wish the believer could understand what I'm saying today. Being a descendant means that you are not just average. You are not just a person anymore. You have worth. You have the blessings of God. You have the favor of God in Jesus Christ. Watch this. Watch this. He rose early in the morning. He took bread and a skin of wine. What do you do? And he gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder. And he gave her the boy and sent her away. Now, here's the illustration here. Man can only provide so much. See, Abraham only supplied her with a little for probably a 3 days or 4 days or 5 day journey. But listen, when you're a descendant of Abraham, tell your neighbor, I will survive. But the next thing you need to know about this is I will survive because this is what we all worry about. I will survive because God will always. He ain't just providing for you because it's you. He's providing for you because of who you're linked up to. See, watch this. Abraham did his duty as a father. Child support. This is the first child support in the Bible. He gave his child support, but he didn't give enough. Because next week, I'm going to show you it ran out. But the point I'm trying to say to you is this, that no matter, we struggle in this Christian walk because we're so worried about how we're going to survive. Come on, help me. But it's time for you and I to stop worrying about how we're going to survive and realize that because of who you are, you will survive. Because of whose you are, you will survive. But not only that, but remind yourself of this, that God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. And where Abraham could only give her a little bit, it wasn't enough to take them through. What was Abraham thinking? Well, I just give them like 5 days worth of food. I hope y'all make it now. But see, what Abraham had was that assurance that God had given him. Abraham said, God told him, do whatever Sarah tells you. So it doesn't tell us that Abraham was trusting God. Listen, this is what faith is about, y'all. Sometimes we're looking for the whole all the details, and God says, listen, if you just trust me, if you just give enough, not only will I give you back what you gave, but I'm going to give even more because of what you gave. Because Abraham was blessed. And here his son, watch this, his son now is going out here and his mistress in the wilderness. They wasn't going into a watery place. They had one jug of water. Not wine. Some of y'all thought it was wine. It was water. Don't need wine in this situation. And bread. Isn't that what it said? He took a skin of wine, of water, and gave them to Hagar, and he put the boy on her shoulder, and gave her the boy, and sent her away. Now watch this. The text says, and she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, watch this. The wilderness of Beersheba, the word Beersheba means well of seven. So these were where the wells were dug by Isaac later on. But watch this. It had not been developed just yet. But watch the text. Now, it says that she wandered around about in the wilderness of Beersheba with one skin of water. Come on, help me, somebody. And bread. Will he not provide for you? Tell your neighbor, I will survive. Tell your neighbor, I will survive. Because God's going to provide for me. Listen, you may have lost some things along the way, but remember this, God will provide for you. God will give you more than you can even imagine. And some of us, listen, in 2024, we cannot live with that mindset that God is somehow limited in his resources. He's not limited. This is a shocking passage to me. But watch the rest of it here. The last thing I want to give you, and I'm going to sit down. I will survive because what? God will protect me. You know what's out there in those wilderness? Coyotes, scavengers, wild beasts. Oh, and that's just animals. Let's talk about the heat. Let's talk about the sand. I'm trying to take you there to the wilderness of Beersheba for a minute. I want to take you to the wilderness of your life right now where you're saying to yourself, Pastor, it's hot out here. Come on, I don't see nowhere. When you look, you don't see nothing but miles and miles and miles. You ever been there in life where you don't see, you don't have no direction, you have no stop sign, you have no arrows pointing you in the right direction. You have nothing. It's just you and the wilderness. Come on. But the one thing you need to know, remember this, when life gets tough and when you're in the wilderness of life, remember this, God will put his hands of protection on you. Stop being so superstitious about everything. God's going to protect you. And let me say this, and his protection will be with you all the way through. Just when you think it's time to give up, just when you think it's time to throw in the towel, hey, you know what? I want to say this to you. You will survive. And the reason you're going to survive, number one, because what? Number one, God will what? Because what? I will survive because number one, what? I am a descendant of Abraham. Number two, Because I want, God will always provide for me. And number three, God will always protect me. Those are some important points. Because there are times when you start believing the lies that the devil, listen, when you get out there in that wilderness, your mind starts playing tricks on you. The reason a woman can endure the pain of childbirth is because something good is coming down the pipe. She can endure it because the pain will be worth it in the end as she celebrates the new birth of a child. She bears the suffering because of the joy before her. It is in weakness that God does his greatest birthing. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Don't look at your pain and think there's not a purpose behind it. But understand this. In 2024, you will survive. Give God a hand clap of praise for his grace and his mercy. It's really, really amazing when you start thinking about this whole storyline. Abraham and Ishmael and Sarah. And we looked at Sarah too. We talked about Lot. But this child who didn't ask for this is now being forced to be out in the wilderness. Moses had the same similar life. When he was a young boy, they were killing all the Hebrew boys. But God sovereignly protected him. Imagine that. See, what I see in these points is what I see throughout the characters in Scripture. God will always take care of his. If you don't realize that, then you're going to be chasing after things that are not real. What am I saying? You're going to always be trying to look for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, rather than saying, God, I'm trusting you because I want you to start saying it to yourself. I am a descendant. Galatians 3:7, they that are of faith are sons of Abraham. It's like you saying, my daddy is Obama. All right? My daddy is Bill Gates. Amen. It's like saying that. And watch this. And knowing that helps you with what? To know that you ain't got to worry about what? Nothing. Come on, help me, somebody. Knowing that means what? That I ain't got to worry about nothing. Because I know who my daddy is. And not knowing that, but I'm part of this family. So I know one day I got an inheritance coming to me. Same thing with you as a believer in Jesus Christ. But I think sometimes we forget that. We forget that, or we don't know much about that. And that's the stuff I need to teach more about, to show you that you are royalty. But we got to live like it. And you know what has to change first? Our thinking. We gotta believe it, and then we got to change the way we think. Because at the end of the day, guess what? If you really want to see it happen, you got to claim the promises of God. Amen?